Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7, starting in verse 1. I know that we have been studying Abraham, or at least the book of Genesis, with the accounts of Abraham's life and the different people in his life. I felt led to break away from that for maybe just tonight. I'm not really sure, but as of now, I know for tonight that the Lord would have put this message on my heart. I feel just very sincere about these verses that he's given me tonight, and I hope that they can be edifying to you. Let's read in verse 1. The Bible reads, "A good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." Now, tonight I just have a very, very simple thought, or at least I would hope that I could get it out simply. Like I said, I know we've been studying Abraham. I had gone to a funeral on Tuesday of my uncle, and many of you know that my uncle passed away. And I'm not just sitting up here tonight. I don't want you to think that I'm coming here to eulogize my uncle tonight. But I am. I did feel led after going there to preach this sermon. I know also that there's many, as I would think throughout the day, that have just lost someone near to them here recently. And loss is a part of life. It's just something that we go through. And you may think after reading these verses that, you know, we're just going to have a real downer type of sermon. But I really felt uplifted by the study that God gave me to do. These verses were not used during the funeral service. The man that preached didn't use these verses. But that's what the Lord just immediately, while I was sitting there, these verses came to my mind. And I had a hard time escaping them throughout the day. And I just went home and I studied. Because when I read it, you look at verse 2, it says it's better to go to the house of mourning. Just stop right there. I mean, just interject, it's good to go to the house of mourning. Because when I read it and that just popped into my mind, if I'm honest, you know, that just doesn't sound like a natural thing. And it is against the way that I think. You know what I'm saying? I mean, to go to the house, you're talking about, you know what mourning is. I mean, in the Bible, when people would mourn, they would use words like wailing and sobbing, weeping. And these are the noises that I heard throughout the day. And you sit there and you look at this verse and you say it's better to go to the house of mourning than it is to go to the house of feasting. You know, just sitting there thinking about a feast that I would go to, you know, think about going to Sister Charlene's house. And she knows what I like. She gets me what I like when I go there. And I'm thankful because y'all know I don't eat some things, you know. And she gets that brisket that everybody gets. And hey, that is some good brisket, folks. I'm talking about I could eat that every single day. And, you know, and all the fixings. And we go there and we eat and we have great fellowship. I talk with the family. There's always, you know, plenty of dessert. And I'm so happy when I go there. And I just like to eat, you know, and I'm happy when I go somewhere and we're going to have a lot of food. A good buffet is a great time. And I think to myself, how can that be true? You know, I want to say this too, kind of just paint the picture for y'all about what I've experienced that day, because it really affected me. It changed me some. This man, he was, and I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that I spent every day with him, because I didn't, but I knew him and I loved him. And it was just a massive funeral. It was, you know, the day before they had, Sunday, they had had the wake. And my mom said just the whole day from 3 to 8, like, that there was people just spanning from the casket all the way outside around the building. I mean, he was a man that had an effect on the community. I'm proud to know him, and I was proud to be related to him. A lot of people really liked him a lot. And the book, my mom said, that you signed at the wake was filled up. And that's a blessing, you know, and it was encouraging to see that. And so there was a lot of wailing going on. There was a lot of people there that were mourning that man. And I look at these verses and I say, well, how can that have turned out to be a good thing? How can I take that day and that experience as something good, sitting there in this building at Bogafalaya Baptist Church and listening to all these people mourn this man with deep sorrow in their heart? How is it that those things can be good? Look in verse 2. Again, it says, at the end part of that verse, it says, for that is the end of all men. And we know that this is true, that the Bible says it's appointed to man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And it says in the end, very end part of the verse, that the living will lay this to his heart. So just like with this message, I could have let that day become a waste to me and walk away just, you know, continuously being sorrowful, or I could take the verses that God had given me to deal with that day, to get out of it what God would have me to get out of it, that God would want me to get something out of it. And it says that the living will lay it to his heart. And, you know, I think that we live, and of course we say this a lot, and it's just true. We just live in a world today where everything is so fast paced that we never take the time to put things in perspective or really think about stuff. And I think sometimes a funeral is the only thing that can get people to just slow down long enough to stop and think about things and to really think about, you know, how fleeting life is and how important it is that we would get this right with the time that we have. Turn to James 4 in verse 13. And what I just want to tell you about simply, I guess this will be what the message is about. I just want to give you what I got out of the day. I just want to give you what I got out of being there and going to my uncle's funeral and show you what it is that God can give us out of a situation like this and the things that we can learn. And again, let me say this before I continue. What I'm going to be talking about and using these verses today, I'm going to be talking about going to my uncle's funeral. That's what we're going to be talking about just about the whole time that I'm here. And I don't want y'all to think that I'm trying to lift this man up above where he was, but his life and me going there was able to teach me a lesson. And I'd like to be able to share that with those of us who are here. Look what it says in James 4 and verse 13. It says, go to ye now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now I'm going to tell you again, you know, it's unreal how much this happens to me. How many times have you read that verse? A lot of times. It's unreal how much this happens to me that I've read a verse over and over again and I miss just very, very vital things in it. You know, what we always talk about with this verse is how, you know, we should always say, if the Lord will, we'll do this or that. But we're leaving out a very valuable part. It says, if the Lord will, that we live. If we were to live, then we can do this or that. And that is what the verse says. It says, Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And I've completely missed this part. Look what it says in verse 13. It says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. So this is talking about us. It's trying to wake us up to let us know, you know, we're always making plans and our plans aren't always going to work out the way that we want them to go. And you know, I got to tell you, my life now is not even dictated by, it doesn't even seem like my own plans, but it seems like my wife's plans on a calendar that is on my refrigerator. And that is my life. That, you know, this is what my life is. This is everything that I'm going to do. And it's like blocked off for a year. It's, you know, and this is my plans. I've got everything. I've got months down the road what I think that I'm going to do. It's not even my plans. My wife's just writing some stuff in there sometimes that I don't even know that I'm going to do. That's even worse. I mean, there's just a stacked off calendar. But you know what that really is? It's a piece of paper on my refrigerator that my wife writes on with a pen. And my plans can get interrupted at any point in time. You know, my Uncle Cotton, he had a stroke a few years back, and probably anyone that would have been there would have guessed. And boy, was he active for an 80-year-old man. I'm talking about just did more stuff than you would ever imagine. And anyone that would have been there would have said, this guy's probably going to pass away from a stroke or pass away from a heart attack. My uncle got hit by a car crossing the street. I wonder if that was on his calendar. Probably not. And this is what the Bible's trying to tell us, is that, you know, life is short. Life is fleeting. You know, we have no idea when our life is going to end. Look what it says in verse 14. It says, for whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. And again, I want to use this verse in a different way tonight. When I look at this, you know, and this is just the way that it's reading to me over the last couple of days. For what is your life? Now, we know it's a vapor. It appears for a little while and it vanishes away. He's letting us know we have no idea how long our time is. It could be very, very short. We have no clue. But what I'm looking at tonight is what it says. What is your life? And I've never looked at it this way before. And when I sat there and I listened to these men come up and these different people come up and talk about my uncle's life, I realized that, you know, what they were really doing, it was going through his life. I never saw this show, but I think like I saw it referenced in a cartoon or something when I was a kid. There was that show called This Is Your Life. And just think about that for a second. Everyone that would be here, if this was on trial right now, this is your life. What is the things that they would say about us? What would our life look like? And the thing is, you know, we don't have a bunch of extra days, according to what we just read in James, to figure this thing out. We're supposed to be judging what our life is like right now. I shouldn't have on my calendar, I'm going to become this guy that I want to be, you know, this far down the road. According to the Bible, I'm not at liberty to do that because I don't know how long that my life is going to be. So I sat there and I listened to these people come up and they talked about his life. And they described what his life was like. And he didn't have any more chance to have any effect on that. When they started talking about it, that was it. That was a done deal. That was his life. And if God was to judge us and if our life by the people that we've come in contact with, if we were to be judged right now, that is what we should be looking at. And I think it's more about than just things. It's about how we're going to be and what kind of person we're going to become that we look at the book of James and say, hey, look, I don't have 100 days to become this person that I know God wants me to be. I need to do these things right now. So just for a little while, I want to ask you, if we were to look at our lives right now, what kind of a person would we be? Turn to Proverbs 22 and verse 1. And of course, we just read in Ecclesiastes 7, it says, a good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth. But listen, it goes into more detail about this, about what kind of a name we have and what kind of a person that we are. And, you know, of course, we're doing everything that we do for God, but it completely matters what people think about us. It completely matters what kind of person that we are. Not so much what people think about us, but what kind of person we actually are, what our name really is. And the Bible says a good name is a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Now, of course, I'm not the only person who's gone to a rich person's funeral and seen very little people there. And I think a lot of times your success as a human being and how we've loved our neighbor can be measured in those types of things and how many people were there at your funeral. I'm just going to say it like that. You know, there's many rich people that probably did not have very many people at their funeral because they were more worried about themselves and building up riches for themselves and the things of this life that we shouldn't be that concerned about. There's probably many, and let me tell you something about that, about the money. And of course, I'm sure you've heard a million preachers say, you know, you can't take it with you and all these other things. But let me say this. The only people who care about how much money that you're going to make are probably the people that are in your will. Did you hear what I said? Those are probably the only people that care about that. We're trying to impress everybody by the things that we have and the things that we obtain. But the only people that care about that are going to be the ones that benefit from it. Look what it says in the next part of the verse. It says, a loving favor rather than silver and gold. And what I was caused to ask myself is all these people came up and they spoke about this man was what would it be like if people were coming up? First of all, how many people would even bother to come? How many people would even bother to be there? I don't know. I really don't. I really don't know how many people I've affected, but I know that God wants me to use my life to affect other people's lives and in a good way. And I wonder what people would have said about me. You know, they told this one story about him, and I have to tell this, and I'm not just trying to steal the preacher. The preacher he preached was right on. Southern Baptist preacher, his name was Ernie, dead on with everything he preached, dead on. And I really appreciated the message. But he told a story about it one time. He said, you know, he had just started preaching. And I remember because I went and visited with him, and he was a younger guy at the time. And he was new to preaching, and he was scared. And he was at a brand new church in a state that he had never lived in before. And of course he was nervous. And he said it was like the first or second week and he had preached on lying. That was what the sermon was about. Okay, so that's probably pretty scary right off the bat, you know. And so he finished his preaching on lying and He said when he was starting to walk to the back, my uncle, who's 6'5", standing out by the door with a couple of other men, and they were sitting there just, mean mugging him. You know what I mean? They had bad looks on their face. And he said, man, I'd heard about, people getting offended when you preach the truth, but now I was about to face it. And he said, he went up and my uncle said, hey man, if you wanted to just point us out of the crowd, why didn't you just call me by name? You know what I mean? And of course he was joking with him. And that made him feel good. It made him feel comfortable. And I think back about some of the times that I was here and some people that did that and how they positively impact my life. And those are the types of things that would make me probably wake up on the day of their death and say, I'm going to come attend this person's funeral and comfort their family. Those are the types of things that would impact my life, that would affect my life. And I looked at those things and I just wondered what it was in my life that would cause people to want to be around me. And also while I was there, I got to say, thinking about impacting people's life, I saw a bunch of people there that are like my first and second cousins. I couldn't even think of their name because I'm so busy. I don't even know my family. You have any family members like that? Look, people that I don't know what condition they're in. I don't know if they're saved or they're lost. People who had been there for me whenever I was a child. People who had been there for me many times when I was in the hospital that I hadn't seen in years and years. And they're sitting up here talking about this man that had time for everyone and had time. I mean, he was involved in the 4-H stuff. He was involved. And again, I'm not just sitting here. He's just a good example. He just is. I'm just being honest with you. He's in 4-H. He's doing stuff with the kids. He's doing stuff at church. He's doing stuff with the schools. He's doing stuff with the sick. He's doing stuff with the poor. These are all the things that the people are saying. And I'm sitting there measuring myself, and I'm not trying to measure myself by him, but I'm just looking at my own life as I hear all these things said about this man. I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to have that many people there. I just have not made that kind of an impact yet. And I know that the Lord would desire for me to make that kind of impact. And I don't have a million years to do it, according to the book of James. I need to start doing it now. I need to get in touch with those people now. I need to check on the condition of their soul now. I need to be helpful to the people that are mourning now. I need to be a better church member, a better father now. It's time now. And that's what these verses are supposed to do, is wake that up in us. Because the Bible says that we're just falling asleep all the time. And sometimes it takes that kind of stuff. And look, if I can use this experience, or those of you that have just lost a loved one can use this experience to wake up to those types of things, praise the Lord. And I know that, we haven't even yet begun talking about how we should use our life to serve the Lord. And that's who our name we should be concerned about being good with more than anyone else, for sure. But if we're good to our neighbors and we're doing all these things, God says that that's part of fulfilling the royal law. That we should do these things, that we should desire to help one another. Turn to Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 4. And I just want to give you some other just perspectives that I picked up while I was there. And of course, Ecclesiastes is a book where Solomon has just gone through every aspect of life trying to figure this thing out and try to figure out what things were important. And there's a lot of knowledge about life in the book of Ecclesiastes. Look in chapter 9 and verse 4. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Listen to what he says here. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy vanity, which thou hast given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is the portion of this life. And in thy labor which thou takest under the sun, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I mean, he's saying we need to be living our life to the fullest. And I started just, listen, I'm telling you, it just attacked me. I'm talking about, I just sat there and just all this stuff was reeling through my head. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, what kind of a dude have I been? What kind of an impact have I had? And I know that God would desire for everyone to have a great impact on this world, for us to make our mark in a positive way on the world. And I started looking at all these other things and saying to myself, as I studied this, am I living my life to the fullest ability that God has given me? This life really is a gift. Of course, we know our salvation is the greatest gift that we can have. But while we're here on this earth, this is a gift to us. Am I living my life to the fullest? Am I eating my bread with joy? Am I enjoying my life while I'm here? And I know, you say, this does not sound like a typical thing to ask. Am I enjoying my life? God wants us to have joy. I really believe that. He wants us to be happy. And I think these verses are telling us that some people are going through life a lot of times just so wrecked and stressed out that we are just completely doing away with everything that God had intended for us to have. And look, this is not a prosperity sermon. This is just the truth. I believe God wants us to, He came so that we could have life and that it might be more abundant, is what Jesus said. And I thought to myself as I sat there, and I'm telling y'all the honest truth tonight, that I have just been, and I'm very open with the church about things, and I'm just all over the place, and I'm trying to do this, and I have not sat down long enough to sit and enjoy my new family yet. Just sit there and enjoy them. Can you hold the baby? Yeah, babe, I'm trying to do something. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying in the house right now. I have not sat down and just been with my family and tried to enjoy my family. He said it's our portion. This is what we're here for. Listen to what he says in verse 6. He says, and their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither they have any more portion for anything that is done under the sun. This is after they're dead. So what are the things that have been left undone? Whatever he says, whatever I've got to do, do it with my might. What are the things that have been left undone? I think about some of the people that were there that day. There's a man who's my uncle who was there. And when I got married, I mean, I hadn't seen him since I was a kid. I used to be scared of him for some reason whenever I was young. Really scared of him. Did you ever have any relatives you were just scared of? I mean, I was just scared of this guy. And then I started to get to know him right before I got married. And after that, he just started coming by with his wife and visiting me and my wife. And I was like, you know, me and my wife are like 20. And I'm like, what is this dude doing at my house, you know? And we started hanging out like all the time. And he just became my good friend. And then me and my wife got married and started preaching. I got busy. I haven't seen the dude again. I haven't bothered to go by and check on him. I haven't bothered to see. And most of all, I've never even asked him if he was saved. He's the same age as this dude who just died. God has given us all these people in our lives to enjoy and to help and to impact. And I'm sitting here wondering how much. And look, he's saying there's a day that comes and all the hatred that's left, there's going to be no more chance to love them. It's going to be done. I won't have any more opportunity. It's done. It's finished. And furthermore, I think about the people that I have strife with or that I have anger with. And the Bible says that we should not even let the sun go down upon our wrath, upon our anger. And I think about the things that are left undone. I think about the things that, you know, the people that, like I said, that I have strife with. And God wants me to fix that. And I think that I can fix that down the road or fix that when I get comfortable. Or maybe I'll go and talk to my uncle when I've just got this abundance of time. Go check my calendar. You're not going to find it there. I'm going to have to make some time to do that. And God wants me to make time now. God wants me to be a better man now. And as they sat up there and talked, you know, and the greatest thing I think about a funeral happened next. The man, his name was Brother Ernie. He came up and he talked next and he talked about salvation. And he talked about the fact that my uncle was saved. And I'm so thankful. I don't think a funeral service should ever go by without somebody talking about getting saved. Amen. And you know, I'm so thankful that he sat there and talked about that. And you know something else? Speaking of amen, this dude's just giving sound doctrine all down the line, telling people how to get saved, and I'm the only one there going amen in a church full of like 300 people. Explain that to me. Here's all these lost people around. They need to come to this service tonight and hear what we're preaching tonight. Here's all these lost people sitting around. I'm the lone amen man over off on the right side all by myself. And this man's sitting here and he's preaching about salvation and what the most important thing is. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 12. Turn over just a little bit with me. In chapter 12 and verse 8, he says, vanity of vanities, vanity saith the preacher, it is all vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought out to find acceptable words. And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. And the words of the wise are as goads and nails fastened by the master of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study there is weariness of flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it is evil. The best thing that I heard throughout the whole day, and this is the saddest thing about a day when you go to a funeral and no one can say that the man was saved. The best thing that I heard about the whole day was when the preacher started talking about how he knew he was saved. He talked to him many times about the fact, and he said it just like this, that he put his faith and trust in what the Bible said about Jesus Christ. You heard an amen, I guarantee you, from my section of the church. And then he talked about how good of a worker that he was in the church. And he said, above all things, because this is a guy that spent much time with him, that the man was active in his church and he cared about church work and he was there every time that something needed to be done. That was the most important thing. And look, it's so funny the way that things come around full circle in our life, because I've told y'all, and I'll just be honest with you, it's just a thing. We all get wore out and I get wore out and I get tired. And even when I come up here and preach about getting tired and renewing our strength, I still get tired. Brother Aaron, it just happens. It's a daily battle. Our Christian walk is a daily battle, just like we've been reading about with Abraham. It just keeps happening. We get tired, and we need our strength renewed. And that preacher is the same preacher that whenever I was having a lot of struggles back in the day, and I was living my life thinking everything else was more important than serving the Lord, that God used him to bring me back to where I needed to be. And I'm telling you right now, he refastened me the other day. He took those wise words that are like nails, the Bible said, and he refastened me. Because after everything else that all these people sat up and talked about, I realized that the only thing that really was of any value, even more than being everybody's friend and doing all these other things, was the condition of my uncle's soul. And the fact that I know that he's going to go to heaven, and of course you've heard this 1,000 times, I'm going to see him again. I'm going to be with him again, and I can know that. Because he trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God that my uncle knew the Lord. It's the most important thing. You know, the Bible says that whoever it is, there's going to be no remembrance of them, is what the Bible says. So he was a great man. And there was, like I said, people lined across the place. But just like I heard a man say one time, after we went to the funeral that day, guess where we went? Potato salad and chicken. Potato salad and chicken. And now everybody else is at work. And I'm sure his family's still mourning. And I'm sure his family's still grieving. But guess what? They're going on with their life. And everyone eventually is going to forget about him. Look, I said this before. I study history a lot. Most of the people that I mention in history, unless people still go to school and things like that, the younger people don't even know who I'm talking about most of the time. And these men were men that had huge impacts on the world. But people don't really remember him. After, 100 years or something, unless it's like Napoleon, and most people don't even know that much about that dude, let's just be honest about it. People forget about him. They forget. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're here and you're lost, the Bible says that everyone's going to forget. All these things that you think you're stacking up in this life that are of value, they mean nothing. And people are going to forget that we even existed on this earth. Put it in perspective. That's what I'm asking you to do. That would be what this sermon is about tonight. Put it in perspective. What things are important? For those of us who are saved, while we're here, we already are saved. We've got that out of the way. That's the most important thing. Praise the Lord. Now we need to focus on the things that God would have us to do now. Tomorrow's not the day to do it. Today is the day to do it. And if you're here and you're lost, there's going to be no memory of you, is what the Bible says. And furthermore, let me tell you this. Those of us who are saved, as much as we would probably want to, when I get to heaven and I go be with the Lord, my heart is broken for those that would be lost right now. But when I get to heaven, God doesn't want me to have any sadness or any kind of turmoil whatsoever. I will never mourn again. So I won't be able to remember those that are lost. But if you're here and you're lost right now, the Bible says that those who fear the Lord in the book of Malachi, that God is going to write a book of remembrance about us. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. I will never be forgotten. I will never be forgotten because I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're lost, please let this be, I know you don't know him, but let my uncle, or in this funeral that I'm talking about, in these verses, just propel you to think about what is the most important thing. If you're here and you're lost, get saved today.
God desires for you to be reconciled, and all you need to do is know that you are lost, go to God, admit that you're a sinner, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will save you. I want to invite you to do that tonight. We'll have a verse of the song.